Dr. Abby Acupuncture. How are you?
I'm really good. A bit sweaty, a bit nervous, but I'm okay.
Why do you do acupuncture? So you do acupuncture and you did it on me and I loved it. And I've never had acupuncture in my entire life. And then you did it to me and it balanced me. So I came to you because I was up in the ethereal realm too much and you grounded the shit out of me.
I didn't like make you a negative ion. Like, you're okay to be on the ground, yeah?
Yeah, I loved it.
Yeah.
I needed earthing and you said it was like helping more oomph through me, right?
Oomph is technically a medical term that I do use quite frequently, along with oomphy. When you're so comfortable, you can't be comfed. it's a real thing.
Yeah.
So I did that with you, and I do that for quite a few patients. My main specialty is cosmetic acupuncture, so I love anti-aging or feel-good, like cosmetic application, wrinkle treatment, and making skin glow, because I think that's a really good way to permeate someone's self-esteem. So. Much like I make you feel grounded, and that to me was a very, not to be insulting or downgrading, it was simple type treatment. And the fact that I wasn't treating a lot of health conditions underlying that, it was purely just, you need some oomph, without going too much into your health history, you need some grounding because you're not able to be productive. So I use the inroad of a face to give people a super glow about themselves on the inside.
Gotcha.
Like, I really like making people think, fuck yeah, I'm on fleek. And sometimes it's really hard to articulate that through, like, if we're tied up like strung chickens with our advertising laws in Chinese medicine. How do you say on paper, I make you think, fuck yeah, I'm great? I don't, you know, I get women screaming, I'm a hot tamale. And like, how do you articulate that as a healthcare plan?
And you don't really get it until you've experienced it. That's one thing I realized. I never knew how good I could feel until after. And I mean, I'm very sensitive, so I can have a fairly good idea of what's shifting in my body as I'm laying there. And the meridians that you call them getting lit up and stuff. Because for example, just one area, you hit a nerve one time and it did this particular thing, and then you hit a meridian and it did another particular thing. And one, for people listening, the nerve one felt quite discomfort and like, oh, you hit a nerve, and it's the kind
super
of like a sharp
anxiety,
yeah, and sharp and like electric, like it reminded me of the pattern that electric lightning bolts down.
Yeah.
And then the meridian one was just this direct thicker beam, like if the beam of energy in my was probably about a half to a full centimeter wide, and the nerve ones felt like about a millimeter wide. If energetically, that's what they felt like to me. And then the meridian one was like this just direct bolt out the bottom of my foot.
That one probably happens one in every 50 person. The one that goes out the bottom of your foot, it's on the kidney channel. And you can get a different reaction from some people. Like, I can't always predict when it's going to clear a channel in that epic amount of drama, for lack of a better word. And so people describe it as thinking that they think I've put 100 needles in the base of their foot all at once on that exact moment in time. And believe me, I really fucking haven't. I would never do that to a human.
No.
But that does happen quite often with people who, like yourself, are very sensitive or unaware how sensitive they are. Not just empathetic or spiritual, but, you know, there's a lot of people out there that are just really sensitive to chemicals, really sensitive to drama in their families. And so, bless you, that sensation, we have suspicions as to whether or not that, due to taking a pulse in your tongue and doing an internal landscape assessment and asking you lots of questions about your health, we can be like pretty confident that on that meridian that we want to balance, or the system of organs that we want to put back to harmony, we'll be like, okay, there's either a blockage on this channel, or it needs a bit of tonification, it needs a bit more oomph. But I can't guarantee that if I do that specific point, which I knew was kidney 7, I can't be guaranteed that every time I do kidney 7, someone's going to think I've jackhammered the bottom of their foot.
Mm.
Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. But it generally tends to have a massive reaction to people I find to be a bit yin shu or yin deficient or super sensitive in nature. So, like, I try to give you warning as we go through, like, this is going to be a bit of bitch. This is going to be a hot paper cut. This one's going to feel like a sucking feeling. Because there's lots of words that we don't have in the English language that I can articulate the sensations. So when I tell a client there's a point called REN 3, which is above the pubic symphysis but below the navel, and I'm like, when I hit this point and the chi hits, it's going to feel like, I've got no other word to articulate as a sensation. And I'm like, was it right? They're like, yeah, it does feel like. I was like, okay. So, yeah, the shit's weird, but I like it.
It's so amazing. It's amazing how much it works. You know, that's what, when I came away even from the first one, I felt more grounded. And I, if you had to describe that in layman's terms, what was occurring inside my body during that treatment with the needles?
Well, to start with, my favorite thing about Chinese medicine is you don't have to believe in it for it to work. Like, it's a direct science. It's an anatomical science. It's a physics science. Like, it just, you don't have to believe it for it to work. So for you in your first session, what we were doing were we were stimulating acupuncture points based on meridians that directly correlated to your
weak points or lacking areas, or
no, like I'm trying, my brain's just gone like brain fart for the Chinese term for organ.
Yeah.
The foo. So we work on different foo. So I had to kind of bring it back and give you about a few thousand years of education to give you back to what we were doing. So Chinese medicine views the body in systems and relationships. So we can't separate an organ from an emotion or an area of the body or a function of disharmony or a function of how your immune system interacts, as well as where the meridian actually tracks along the body. So acupuncture uses the methodology or the modality of needles to stimulate acupuncture points along a meridian relating to a system of organs to then balance the homeostasis within your body. So whether or not your imbalance is due to an emotional, mental, musculoskeletal, organ failure or circulation orientation, it does anything and everything. So if you don't mind me saying on record, for your type of constitution or what your needs are when you come and see someone in clinic, is you love the erythral stuff. You want your mind fucking blowing like DMT and just go away and float like, fuck yeah, I got this. I can see through walls. And then I have other clients coming in going, I want to rip my uterus out before I fucking kill someone. And I can help them and I can help you just in the same way. And I could probably use the same points in them as I did on you with profoundly different results. Mm. Or I could use different points in them and still blow their fucking minds as well as alleviate the pain. And so I just honestly redirect all this to the fucking face. I'm just like, if I can make your body feel that good, I just want your insides to feel this good and your face to glow. So yeah, like everyone thinks I'm just frivolous and vanity, but I'm really seeing a huge difference in people actually glowing out their fucking face. So like, you know, you like, we talk about the soul coming out of the eyes, the Shen is visible through the eyes. So for you, it's still going to be making you more relatable to other people. Your relationships to others are easier because the relationship with yourself is easier. Mm. You feel more grounded purely because the points that we might have done on that particular time make you feel more grounded within yourself. Mm. And so on a biochemical level, it might have been that we helped the cortisol level drop or increase a bit more serotonin, and maybe you had too much dopamine. So the effect of the homeostasis was just to bring the dopamine down a little bit so that you weren't just happy all the time. Mm. And you could actually be at one with what's going on around you and what's happening there, and maybe lower your heart rate a little bit so that you know, you were more patient and you weren't feeling anxious and on edge.
Mm.
Like, because I do have a question. Like, I treated you this week and we talked about time. Yeah. How did you feel after the treatment about your perception of time?
Well, I fell asleep in it. And I know when I was waking up, I thought it was the next day and I was in bed back in. So yeah, I
thought I was, I'm not laughing at you. I'm laughing with you.
Yeah, I was totally warped. It was completely warped. I came out and I was like, all right, what do I got to do today? And then I opened my eyes and I was still in, like I hadn't moved, obviously.
Oof, imagine if you had, that'd be a fun
day. Yeah, that would be trippy. Because I'm Rick and Morty shit.
You're in the next dimension.
But what I found about it was that, yeah, it works and it's fascinating. And I love how you say it's over thousands of years of trial and error. That's the science that they use. It's not this laboratory stuff. It's just trial and error. And so, like, that's a pretty good track. You know, that's a better track history than any modern science. Like,
totally. And yet, you know, when we were training, and like I trained in China as well, and most of my lecturers and mentors are Chinese, so I'm very lucky that I've got a fourth generation Chinese medicine practitioner, I say, in charge of me. Like, it's very rare that one, you get a mentor, and B, one of a different culture. And I actually trained at the hospital that her grandfather started up against the communist uprising. Her dad is still the administrator of, and she got a Purple Heart when SARS came out, so she didn't lose a patient or a staff member in SARS.
Whoa.
So when we train, most of our lecturers actually MDs. And so especially in Chinese medicine in China, you can't be a Chinese medicine practitioner without being a GP or MD at the same time. So we are very much raised, I say raised because basically you go to university and it's doctoring, to look at both in balance. So initially I was a naturopath and I always found it very much them versus us, like don't use aspirin, don't use this, don't use that. And I found it very limiting and it soured me a lot, made me very judgmental, which anyone who knew me then can totally fucking ascertain to. And then when I came to Chinese medicine, it's like, okay, so they're on beta blockers. That's not the cause of their illness. That's just another symptom to take into who the person is. And you know what? SSRs and antidepressants save lives. So we're not here to judge them or go blah, 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 blah. Mm. If we can make them well enough that they won't need them, fantastic. And we have our own kind of viewpoint on treating those types of conditions and how we would love to do it without medication, but at the same time we just don't care. So again, when it comes to faces, if you've got Botox or fillers, I just don't care. If that's what it takes to make you happy, cool, I can still work around it. So if people have all these operations that maybe we didn't agree with, or maybe they've got these medications that we think are actually hindering their health, we don't solely focus on that as a protagonist. We go, okay, that's just part of who you are, cool. Like, you know, acupuncture is used in alcohol and drug rehab, which I love. And, you know, you get a different type of coat on the tongue depending if you've been on methadone or heroin or alcoholism. And rather than us going, oh, the alcohol's made that, we're like, oh, okay, so there's a bit of blockage to this area. There's probably, you know, the liver's underfunctioning. They're probably not sleeping. They're probably really, really constipated. We're not going, that on the tongue is purely from this drug use.
Right.
It's the whole picture. So I like that we don't isolate or separate from Western paradigm. Like, a lot of my clients are like, you need to fucking go see your GP, stat. You need to see a psychologist, stat. And I really like that because then I feel like I'm part of the health system. I'm not just happy on the corner by myself with my needles, throwing them at people from the door, hoping they'll stick. I'm going to try it one day, I swear. I joke about it enough. I reckon I'll be all right.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's so fascinating. And so what if, when you're actually putting them in, like with your hands and touching them and stimulating them, can you tell us a bit what's actually happening there? What are you aiming for, and what are you doing with your fingers? And
so I close my eyes, take a deep breath, and just kind of throw it and see where it lands. Just hope that it hits a body. No. some days I think that. So what we're doing is I will do your tongue and pulse, come up with a diagnosis for you in my Chinese terms, come up with a Western diagnosis, which could be something as simple as headache, stress, which would then pertain to the Chinese diagnosis of maybe kidney deficiency or liver stagnation with spleen underactive. And then from there, I would decide what systems do I want to promote or reduce or balance or get to talk to each other. And then from there, I come up with a prescription plan of which points. So there's, you know, thousands of acupuncture points on the body. Very different to dry needling. Dry needling for us is just it hurts their motor points to it. And we have that as well. But we also have, you know, we use distal points to treat areas in the completely opposite direction of the body, or, you know, points in the feet in order to soothe digestion or arm pain or neck torticollis. So then I'll come up with a prescription in my head, and it might be a classical one that was used 2,000 years ago, or I'll go off a base and just add. So it's kind of like a recipe. You're like, this always makes scrambled eggs, but I'm going to add some spring onions and some chili. So then we look for, so from the prescription, I'll pick my acupuncture point, and we always palpate the area to make sure that, one, I've got my measurement correct, and two, there's so much variation from body to body. There's a 10% variation from human anatomy to human anatomy. So I have to make sure that you don't have a blood vessel in the wrong area or what have you. Just making sure that I've, you know, not going to just tap your vein because it says so in the book, it should be exactly to some there. And so we palpate for whether or not it might be excessive or deficient.
Palpate means feel it out?
Yep, we feel. So you might notice I'm quite touchy-feeling. Like I touch a lot and you're like, what are you touching there for? And I'm like, don't worry, I'm a doctor. I'm very thorough. But my ear is up here. That's okay. So when we put the needle in, I make sure that, because some acupuncture points can be as small as 0.5 millimeters, or it can be the size, the width of maybe a centimeter. So the areas are different. And we've got different locations in the body that have different locator indicators. So past all that, so what we're doing is we use sterilized single-use filiform needles. I use very fine ones, might be 0.2, 0.18 by, you know, 3 sun. And I personally like to freehand because I personally feel like I have more control over where it's going to go. And my technique doing that is, for me, less painful than if I use a guide tube on a client. And every acupuncture point, which is like an entryway into the meridian to stimulate it either up or down. So the further you get distal to the body, the more dynamic and polarized the chi becomes. So that's why you'll probably find the further I get to your extremities or your toenails or your fingernails, it feels a bit sharper or a bit more intense than if I come close to your elbow or the middle of your limb or in your tummy or your abdomen. And so, for example, we might go Neguan, which is pericardium 6, which is 3 finger breaths from your wrist of your crease in the central line of your wrist. And it's quite often commonly used for nausea in pregnancy or anxiety or heart palpitations. And in Chinese medicine, Neguan means in a path. So we say that it kind of unbinds the chest. It's on the pericardium channel. Unbinds the chest in your relation to other people and your boundaries with other humans. And we use it a lot for reducing panic attacks, stress, regulating blood, regulating your hormones, regulating overthinking.
Right.
But to find that point, I have to measure that your 3 finger breaths of that line back to there.
Yeah.
And then it's 0.5 of a sun in. So it's about a thumb width.
What's
deep.
A sun?
A sun is a measurement that we use for body to body, because I can't go 3 centimeters on you versus 3 centimeters on me is a different length.
Mm-hmm.
So a sun is the width of your thumb, and that's how we measure things in the body.
Oh.
So something's 2 sun, 3 sun, 5 sun. So 2 sun is 2 thumbs. And so Neguan is actually 2 sun. I said it wrong. Someone's going to listen to this. That's like a Chinese medicine. That's the wrong measurement. Yeah, it'd be fine. Just go with the feel. Use the force.
Yeah,
stand at the door and throw.
You get it.
Anyway, so Neguan is pericardium 6. And we use that for inner parts. So when I freehand, it means... So if you look at the inside of your wrist, there are veins, there are ligaments, there are muscles, there are nerves. And so if you push on that, if you wiggle kind of left, it kind of feels tight. And then if you pull right, kind of has that dull, heavy sensation. So even under your thumb, moving that degree, even half a centimeter left or right, there's a variation in the landscape of your skin and the depth of the muscle. And you'll feel when you kind of get to the middle, it kind of gives in and goes deep. That's the point. So that's why I palpate you to feel where that point is. And then I know via our measurements and study that it's another sun deeper. So I make sure that one, I've made sure your ligaments and your blood vessels aren't in the way. And then I insert the needle with the most minimal amount of disruption to the skin. And then not until I hit that point do you have a sensation most of the times. And then when you hit Neguan, so if you push that really deep, you almost feel a little bit like the pit of your stomach kind of lurches forward. Like,
ooh. Yeah, yeah.
Yep. And that's how you know I've hit the chi, because you're like, ooh, that felt different. And so on the needle, I'm either stimulating clockwise, anti-clockwise, thrusting or pulling to either clear that, tonify it, try and get it to talk to another one. If I'm being really sneaky, I might try and link that point to another one on the other side of the arm and just not tell you. I try not to tell my clients too much about the physical, what's going on in the body, because one time I was needling someone's shoulder blades and was telling them what's happening because I was all about the anatomy, and then they fainted. So I don't tell people anymore. I'm just like, oh, it's, you know, just in. How deep? Not far.
Yeah.
Just the skin.
How far do they go?
Depends what points. If you do, I'm very cautious that I have to make sure that I represent all of Chinese medicine, because some practitioners do a Japanese needling type, which is just honestly just the dermis, just the epidermis, and the needle kind of falls flat. And I don't. I practice very Chinese in the fact that stimulation means that it will feel stimulated for more. Stronger stimulation means a stronger treatment. And that's just how I've been trained.
Right.
Like in the hospitals, I saw it firsthand, so I'm all about it. So that particular point, half a sun to a sun deep.
That deep?
Well, you've got a thick wrist. It's all in relation to your wrist.
No, they were going that deep in me.
Not you. Just a little bit.
Oh my goodness, that
just
freak me out more.
Just the tip.
That's so funny, because I thought all of my... And it's fine if they are. I'm not going to...
I'm never going to tell you.
But I always
but you
thought,
would look.
Yeah, well, I always just thought they were like a millimeter deep, 2 millimeters deep.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Sometimes that's the measurement.
But other times, how deep do they go?
Could go a handspan, depending what your butt's doing.
What?
I've watched people in the hospitals.
What your butt's doing?
Think about sciatica. That's a decent muscle to really get in there.
Like, oh, yeah.
It's juicy and exciting.
Yeah.
And again, like we could do needling, that's a threading type technique. So if I do the scalp, I might be going, oh, this is really going to put people off. So I don't really want to talk about it in too deep. But we do threading, which is where you basically pull a muscle back. So I would thread through the scalp for maybe 2 centimeters in order to get a muscle nice and tight to hold for the next 6 weeks. It sounds really barbaric and painful, but it's really not. And again, people who are sensitive, sometimes we wouldn't even bother putting it in the full sun, however it needs to go. And it might just be, in some cases, especially your cases, just in the skin, just the surface, and it lies down. And it's called fish food theory. You know, like whenever you feed fish, you just sprinkle at the top of the tank and then the fish come up and grab the needle. So sometimes needles sink in deeper. Sometimes needles get pushed out. Just depends on the person's chi and their constitution. But if someone's super energetically sensitive, and I'm working on their meridians, which is the energetic system in some cases, then I just do what their body responds to. I don't have to go the full 9 yards. But if you had diarrhea, I'd go the full fucking 9 yards to make sure we have a physical response to make a physical altercation stop.
And why is it that these needles hitting a meridian, an energy system in the anatomy, stimulates changes? Is it because it's irritating the energy flow, or it's...
the age-old question of science. So it's one of those sciences that aren't necessarily measured by Western paradigms. You can't go, it's a histamine response. It's not necessarily always a red blood cell response or a white blood cell response. What I can say is it's been measured with isotopes to show that where the meridians lie is a lower hadronic resistance. So we're taught it stimulates the body.
Is hadronic water?
Yeah. So the flow slows down where the meridians are as opposed to where they're not. So they've done all these studies with like isotopes and like did it on pigs and humans and rats. And every time there was a meridian, it was a lower hydraulic resistance. So we're taught that it stimulates the body's own natural healing response. And I've seen in some points, I see it literally change people's thinking then and there in the process. I've seen it stop gastric discomfort in the time, or the vagal nerve is stimulated. Like there's so many different Western paradigm theories to describe it that I just haven't come across one that articulates correctly for me. I just like to explain it as it stimulates the body's own homeostasis. So lots of things we don't know why, but somehow it still works. So the observation obviously never went as deep as what are the molecules doing. Mm. Observation went, push this, it feels better. So for example, you know, whenever you stimulate a spindle cell in a muscle, it releases it from overcontracting.
Mm.
So it's great for that. You've got muscles skeletal, we can stop it from overcontracting. It becomes quite erythral and philosophical when I try to explain it as to why and how it works. Why and how it works is the body's got this own beautiful orchestra of chemistry of how it wants to work for itself. And, oh God, now I'm never going to sneeze.
Get that sneeze out.
Oh, like I want to, but it's not going to happen. It's just going to sit there right when I really want to get my good word out. And then I'll
be like, headbutt the microphone.
I'll get wine all over the microphone.
That's it.
So it's this beautiful orchestra of balances of energies, and I think it comes back down to the fact that we are just energy. As much as I hate talking in that form, like I really like science, I really like chemistry, I really like biophysics, but you know, if you sit in the same room with someone else and you're beside each other, why do our heart rates match?
It's amazing,
you know, like that comes down to radio frequency. So there's this innate intelligence within the body that somehow through many years of observation, and you've got to remember that Chinese medicine and Ayurvedic Indian medicine have a lot of correlations, and they've got a very similar start date. Lots of those.
And they're both some of the oldest that's still going.
Totally, and still get results.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't give you a bioscience answer for something that I haven't clearly articulated in my own brain the bioscience of it, other than the fact that it works. Sometimes you just don't have to question it.
And one thing I, from a direct experience point of view, is I feel this achiness in the areas that you touch. And so there's some sort of energetic response happening wherever you put the needles. I can feel this physical achiness. And that. So there's obviously some sort of direct stimulus occurring.
Yep. So we would describe that as you are aware of the sensation of chi.
Okay.
Which is what I was saying was measured with the isotopes. The chi and the meridian lines have been measured. So we say that the chi is stimulated enough. And if you tonify it, then it gets stronger. And if you reduce it, then it gets weaker. So if you think about it, you get a headache and it's throbbing from the inside out. You need to reduce that. If you have a headache where you're clutching your head, trying to push it in, that needs to be tonified. So we're aware of energetic sensations within our body. And we say that that's the chi is what you feel of the area on those needles. Because if you watch them, you'll see that when I hit the point, you don't feel it in the skin, you feel it within. And it actually vibrates, and it vibrates separate to what your cardiovascular system is. It vibrates separate to your pulse mechanisms. What? Have you ever, like you look sometimes, did you look and see that?
No, I never saw the needles vibrating.
Oh, now you're going to be all like eyeballs so everywhere.
They literally go like this.
They
like
slightly vibrate, yeah.
But you can see it with the eye?
Yeah. No, like the reason I specialize in cosmetic is because I can measure that fucking line. Like back pain, headaches, esoteric, whatever. I'm like, yeah. But this line got shorter. So that's science. This worked. I can take a photo of a before and after with that. I can't take a photo of a before and after of gut pain or period regulation or fertility. You can. Here's a before, here's an after. So it does literally vibrate on the moment then and there. And then, you know, we also get something called SHA, which is like a red aura around where the needle's inserted, depending on different people and what you're trying to treat. And it's not a reaction to the needle. It's a reaction to the chi in the needle. Like, it's not, because everything's single use. We don't reuse needles anymore. It's not the 80s. And I've only ever heard of one case, someone being allergic to the sterilization equipment that they do with the needles. But yeah, so it does have a physical phenomenon then and there in the moment. Like, we do study a lot of health science to make sure that we're qualified doctors. And, you know, we're still registered the same as any GP or dentist or surgeon. We're still held to the high standard. It's just really hard to articulate it in the form that we have been Western trained to think in.
So hypothetically, I mean, it's actually true, but let's just say hypothetically, everyone has different capabilities. You know, some people have stronger arms than others. Some people have bigger noses than others. Some people have, like, whatever. You get it. Some people have different chi capabilities than others then too, right? Some people can move energy through them better than others.
I don't think that... yes. Okay, yes. And I'm trying to figure out, do you mean, do I feel the chi differently in body to body?
For example, like someone like Charlie Goldsmith, who I've worked with and is a friend of mine, he moves energy in his body, but he's never really explained it. You know, like he hasn't never studied anything. He just did it because he realized he could. And then he just practiced it all the fucking time for a couple of decades. So he's able, and this is something I can't go, oh yeah, I know what you're doing because I'm not in your body. But the way he describes it is just that he can move energy, and he can move energy from his head down to his feet, back up again. And then he can move from one hand to the other hand and feel it moving across him. And so he plays with energy or chi in his own body and can also transmute it to others. And
So I would say most Chinese practitioners can do that. And it's a matter of, are you consciously doing it? Are you consciously aware of it? And what kind of stimulus do you want to be experiencing while that's happening? I would say everybody in Chinese medicine, you got to remember, we touch people for a living and we read, I say I read your soul through your pulse. Like, that's my tool, is touching you. And my modality is stimulating through the needle. So when we take your pulse, I'm thinking, oh, it's a little bit fucking going on in your head. You're a bit of a schizo today. Fuck me. Let's just bring that down. La, la, la. Won't tell you. See you later. Bye, psycho. See you next time when you're balanced. So whether or not I'm doing it with the momentum of touching someone or not, effectively doing something very similar, I wouldn't say it comes down to someone's chi being stronger or not. I would describe it in the form of, Chinese medicine views the soul in five different aspects. We just don't see as, you know, a soul. It comes down to your hun, your po, your yi, your shen, and brain fart. Honestly, I knew when I had to be super intellectual, I'd missed like the one important thing. But it basically comes down to, part of it is your instinct, part of it is protects you when you sleep. So your fei remembered it. Nailed it. Let me be a teacher. Your fei protects you when you sleep. It's kind of like your immune system. Your shen is your personality. It's how you correlate to other people. It's how you look someone in the eye and knows whether or not they're okay or not okay. Your po is like your animalistic instinct and your animal and your childlike play. And hun is a directional momentum of your chi, forward and back. So, for example, I've never met Charlie and I've never seen his work live. I'm familiar with his work. I would say his hun is more refined than most, in the fact that he is super aware of his hun, so he can project it in order to help and balance others. I would say everybody can do that, whether or not they're aware of it or not. The shit that I want to see is when someone makes two parts of their hand different temperature. That shit blows my mind.
See,
can Charlie do that?
I know.
Oh, party trick. Let's give him beer and see what happens.
No, they'll probably fuck him up.
Let's see. I've got needles. I can fix it.
Well, I think he put his hand to mine once, the palm, and it was fucking like a laser beam. Heat.
Yeah, and we feel that a lot.
Yeah, and I've had a feeling that I can actually do that if I just concentrated on it. Like, I could heat up my palm just by, because I had this revelation when I was deep in meditation of sending light out through
heavy breathing.
just heavy breathing, hyperventilated, and tripping myself out by not having any oxygen in my system. I had this idea.
Let's give it scientific reasons.
I had this idea that like light was coming out my right and light was going into my left, and that and I could shift it and push it out and send it towards people. And and then I was, did a circuitry on it, and it was just sending it from one hand to. And that's incidentally how Charlie positioned. He just intuitively puts his hands in.
And a lot of healers do. A lot of monks, a lot of traditional healers do that as well.
So it's to close the circuit, I think.
We say it's, if have you ever seen Qigong or Tai Chi?
Yeah.
It's an energy ball. So we use that ball, that position of hand over hand and the movements in order to move that Qi through the meridians to strengthen the whole body. So it's a physical form of energetic healing of yourself.
And it's suggesting that the energy is leaving the body and coming into the other
side.
No,
you cultivate it. You cultivate it. So when you stretch and you're cultivating the ball and then you stretch out your arm, the lung meridian, the heart meridian, the Sanjiao meridian are all engaged in that stretch, and the pose might replicate that of an animal, which again works on an instinct within the body, and then that chi is stimulated to the tips of the end of the meridian, comes back through the systems, back to the organs, and then you move on with the next.
Oh yeah, but I thought it leaves one hand and goes into the other hand.
But also by cultivating it, you've got to remember, if you're going to push it out, it's got to come from somewhere. So like, you still have to cultivate it within you. So you might be aware of the focus and the precipice being in your palms, but where did it come to before it got to that?
Earth.
And for you to be a conduit of it, you had to have flow within the body to be a conduit in order to push it out. So when you're aware of it in your hands, were you aware of it being of the earth, or was it Jez's energy?
Yeah, it was in it was my body's.
Yeah, so you would have had to have some form cultivate mechanisms within yourself that you were aware of or not aware of in order to build that. And I would say there are lots of Tai Chi masters that can shoot light beams at other people.
Literally,
for lack of
and light. I've seen on YouTube, and this could be woo-woo
shit.
Oh,
when they break the table with just a hand.
No, the one that they lit, had paper on the ground, and he just put his hand over it, and he had so much heat coming out of his hand that he set the paper on fire.
I want them just to close the door sitting on the couch.
That would be dope.
I've watched way too much Harry Potter. I'm like, just close the door. That's all I want. That would be the most best fucking useful tool of chi. Close the door. Am I too lazy?
Amazing.
The thing that I find real frustrating is I've seen all these mechanisms, and I've seen these people do these wonderful healing things, and I see the interconnectivity between people and using their, I'm calling it chi, you're calling it energy. It's just, we've just got different language for the same thing and different approaches to looking at it. But I'm like, when can we use that instead of Siri? Like, chi, what time's the movie on tonight? Chi, can you close the door?
Well, that's
can you drive me so I can drink?
I reckon, I mean, I think there is, it's this guy I had on, David Savage, who's actually coming out here to Melbourne. He's an empath, and he's just like, everyone has a com.
You interviewed him?
Yeah.
Yeah, I watched that.
Yeah, he's just like, everyone has a cosmic address.
Yep.
Get over it. It's just the way it is, and I just have this capability to tune into it. So you could almost say that, you know, energetically, or our localized field of consciousness, our anatomy, our consciousness is in this area of the cosmos, and then someone else is in that area of the cosmos. This energy, this chi that's between us, is who's to say it can't communicate with one another? Like, mine is communicating with yours right now, but with a materialization, I can see, and with my other senses. But even if I had my eyes shut, I'm sure we could tune into it.
We'll just keep talking.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true.
So. I'm taking it to a base level, aren't I? Like, yeah, you want to get spiritual. Baseline.
Yeah. We just keep talking.
Yeah. No, and I also think that, like, with that interconnectedness, if you look at an athlete or an expert, they've done 10,000 hours on that craft. There is nothing to say that someone couldn't sit there and focus on it for days on end and also have it in themselves. And that's what I see. Like, honestly, I read internal landscapes all day long, inside out, upside out. And so that's why my craft is highly attuned to what that person's going through. I don't myself pertain to empathy, but I'm not an empath, is what I mean. Yes, I have empathy. God, that sounds fucking callous. So with that guy doing the empath shows, what do people get out of it at the other end? So we do all have interconnectedness. Everything's in relation to one another. And like, God, if I didn't say this, Kerry Watson would kill me. We're all yin and yang. And the whole reason Chinese medicine came to be is because it was the observation of yin and yang in the environment and how we were yin to the yang. And it was also yang to our yin. So I would say that that comes down to the philosophy of we are all interconnected because we all have to have a form of balance with one another. Mm. And how that energy or that interconnectedness or interconsciousness transposes to each other is all interesting. My personal philosophy is it's all atoms. That's my personal philosophy. Mm. I don't think any of my lecturers ever told me that, but I found that came to being prior to Chinese medicine because I think atoms is consciousness. That's how we can all be God in the same reincarnate because we're all, everything is made of atoms. As a kid, it used to like trip me the fuck out when they're like, God is everything. I was like, how can he be everything? He's not air. That doesn't make sense. And if it's a man, what's he doing? Yeah. Like, so I think atoms are the building blocks of every cell. They're the building blocks of all molecules. They're the building blocks of air, space, universe, nothing. And then the more that you investigate the structure of an atom, it's a nucleus, a proton, and an electron. And the only thing holding them all together is more space. And then I bring that back to like when you do meditate, the whole point of meditation is for nothingness or space to enhance the synaptic clefts between your brain. And that the more that you change those, the more space you create, which is effectively all a fucking atom is at the end of the day. It's a whole lot of nothingness. And for me, that's how I can correlate how we all relate to each other and how we all are each other and how we're all actually connected and how one suffering creates mass suffering. And I also think that's how like that whole 100 monkey consciousness comes about. I think it's all the atoms communicating and having a buzz. Mm. And so for me, I just bring it back down to, all right.
Resonance.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. That's how I try to...
Fuck, that's deep.
That's my version of science of rationalizing it. So don't say I don't love science because I do.
That's your version of understanding the mechanics of existence.
Yeah, okay then. That's just how I... Like, I was raised Catholic, like super, super religious. And so, it you know, but I would have these fucking weird experiences with ghosts and reincarnation and... you know, negative energies or entities and possession and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. And I was like, how can you have all these at the same time? There has to be a way to rationalize it. Mm. And so when it comes to this energy healing, my personal philosophy gets a little bit avoidant. So you won't see me in the meditation circles at this point in my life. You won't see me at these big healing events because my personal philosophy is just go straight to source.
Mm-hmm.
Like I don't mess around with necessarily healers as per se or Reiki or
Any teacher that's not teaching you how to go directly have a direct experience.
And that's where a lot of it really irritates the shit out of me, and we get these pseudo gurus gurus and we get these pseudo leaders and I just think, oh, for fuck's sake, have a beer, have a pizza and just chill out and be like, have your conversation with the cosmos in your head or with your quiet time, but be a human most of the time. It's too hard to be this bloody fucking amazing Instagram guru.
Why is the Western world socially doing that at the moment, do you think? Why?
Because they have no connectedness themselves. Western world, we don't have a culture. We don't have a culture. We don't have a history. Well, I'm from New Zealand. Our history is what, 130 years old at best? Well, and we resonate Western more with the Māori culture.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then Australia, how old is that? 200, 300 years? But we're made up of so many different cultures. We don't have our own culture. You know, the white Australians tend to not necessarily consciously fucking conceive that Chinese immigrated at the same time. And yet, you know, we're treating them as a secondary citizen. It's taken how many years to apologize to the most oldest ancient civilizations that walk the land. And we still don't reckon that we're Poms. Like, we're all convicts. So I find it kind of, I think we're all clinging on to this Eastern collective consciousness is because, one, it's a trend. It's easy to sell. So easy to sell. Like, and please don't take this personally because it's not a personal dig, but I just, as I go on my fucking rant as I do and I'm encouraged by alcohol. Oh, I'm such a fucking rant. I think people only follow me because they wait for me to fucking lose my shit and then they can, you know, I'm waiting to get trolled. It's really easy to sell a meditation course because you can always say they're not doing it right because nobody knows. Do you know what I mean? Like, how are you meant to feel when you meditated?
Yeah.
Well, you're meant to feel light and love. What if you're fucking going through depression and you're an angry fucking little mole? I don't feel any better and I just sat there thinking about what I want to eat and, you know, sexual thoughts and then I got really frustrated. That's what meditation is. It's really fucking boring. It's really frustrating. But I see a lot of these people making the pseudo thing of light and love and be constantly positive and, you know, you must be pure at all times and that frustrates the shit out of me because some of the most spiritual people I know are the biggest booze hacks as well. Like, it's all about balance. So I get frustrated when I see people who are looking for genuine help being taken over by what looks good on a label or what photographs well for the Instagram feed or...
Well, I mean, true wisdom, though, transcends these boundaries. Like, for example, like if a teacher teaches you something that's like you should be feeling a certain thing and it doesn't resonate with you, that's the litmus test. But if your teacher...
But who is aware of that?
You
as a general
intuitively.
We might be, but you and I have done a kind of existential experimentations with our lives to see what is and what isn't real. If someone who's worked corporate all their life, never been exposed to anything other, and they're depressed and looking for something that's not psychedelics in order to feel better,
right, then
they're not going to know that.
Then we'll say,
this is the layman terms that gets me frustrated. Like, I'm not, oh God, I'm really on my rant horse.
No, keep going. It's interesting. I'm just going to have my defense of meditation for a moment. Like, I think the way, if someone's teaching you meditation to give you an experience of light and love and positivity, that's completely unrealistic, and that's not the point of meditation. Meditation's just a mind situation to allow you to de-excite your nervous system, and whatever bubbles up, positive, quote unquote, negative, unquote unquote, like, it's all good. It's all just your body unstressing and releasing stress. You don't need to cultivate a particular forced thing. It's a letting go, it's a surrender, and it's an effortlessness. And at least that's the technique that I teach.
Totally. And like, you know, I tell people, you know truth by the way it feels. Truth resonates. You know, like, if that's how you, it has a frequency in the air that makes you comfortable or uncomfortable.
And it adds up as well. It makes sense. Like, anytime I hear someone say something true, the real supreme wisdom aligns in my mind, my heart and my soul. Like, all the parts of my anatomy go, ooh, that makes sense.
Yeah. But I come across a lot of people who are not necessarily as in tune with their feelings or mental acuity or in tune with their own consciousness. And this is where I see them being preyed on. And so their next frenzy becomes, if I do yoga, you know, 2 hours a day, I will be, you know, happier. If I don't meditate for 6 hours a day, then I just feel like I can't cope. I'm like, that's depression. You're sleeping for 6 hours. I see a lot of that. You got to, like, people come into clinic and I don't necessarily see the pretty end of the spectrum. I don't see all the good things. People come to me when they have a problem. And so I think part of the whitewashing of striving for all this is because we have never really been given a heritage or a cultural grounding. Pardon?
Maybe belonging.
Belonging, yeah. Yeah, but, you know, there's things with belonging too. Look at all the families that, you know, like, for lack of, like, for with my experience, the Chinese and Asian communities, like, especially if you're Vietnamese, you have to celebrate every death anniversary of that uncle, brother, sister, cousin forever. And there's also stresses that come with that belonging. So whether or not that is the answer,
right.
I don't know. Yeah, there is definitely a source of unconnectedness, and I don't know if I'm necessarily the best person to comment on it, because, like, I've been raised between different countries, so even now I'm like, I don't know where my root system is. Like, I really resonate with Māori culture. I'm not Māori. Like, is that where my sense of belonging is meant to come from? Like, or is that my consciousness saying that I don't recognize this culture? I recognize
that's a really
culture.
Interesting question, because I feel like that as well. They're called third generation kids, aren't they? Or like people that grow up in multiple countries.
Yeah. And if you look at this side of the world, especially because I don't have a lot of experience with English culture, we're fifth generation. We weren't born from this land.
Yeah.
And then even the poor Aboriginal culture have been ripped from their tribal lands and their identity and had generations cut out. So they don't know who they are. So maybe the people who once upon a time used to hold the collective consciousness on a landmass for us aren't here anymore to anchor everyone. I know, it's just another theory. Could get really weird if I wanted to.
No, but that's why I think we're all probably striving so hard for a sense of collective purpose or meaning or something or other. Like, I mean, for me, right, where I've come to, and this has taken years, is that the only place I feel rooted and grounded, because I don't feel truly at home in Australia, England, or like, ultimately I feel truly at home everywhere, really. But
is that just because you feel unrooted everywhere?
No, it was originally because I felt like I didn't fully belong anywhere, because I didn't grow up fully anywhere, and everywhere I looked around, people always had a greater sense of home than I did in terms of the environment that they are. But now I feel like, I feel, I mean, feel pretty ground. The only place I can feel at peace is within myself when I shut my eyes and I turn off my senses and I just ground myself into the void or into the abyss of consciousness within myself. That's the only place I can find true connected belonging.
And that's how it should be for everyone, but not a lot of people have that. Like that's why you so part of my philosophy in clinic is everyone has to have like a pedicure and matching underwear. I don't give a shit about body hair, whatever, that's a choice, it grows, it doesn't grow, but I'm pretty insistent on, you know, clean toes and matching underwear because I look at feet and underwear all day long. And the philosophy comes from, you know how when everyone goes through a breakup, they have this, I'm all about me, I'm going to do this for me, I'm going to look after all these things for myself. And I'm like, you should be doing that every day irrespective. You should be happiest with yourself all of the time. And like you just said there, more connected with yourself than anything else ongoing. Because if you don't have you, then what the fuck's the point? You're the one lugging around this human body. You're like...
And I don't think if you establish that, it's not like if you don't establish yourself in that beingness first, when you go out into the world, it's much more scary, volatile, changey, choppy. You know, you can't navigate. And this is all from my direct experience of it, I can't navigate myself very well in the world when I'm not grounded in myself. It's self-love and self-acceptance, self-knowing. And then when I go out in the world, I can be more self-accepting, loving and understanding of other people because I've been able to do it myself.
Whereas for me, I don't necessarily feel... Yeah, I don't mind closing my eyes and being alone. Fucking love my anti-human days. Like, it's my most selfish thing ever. But for me, I don't feel at home unless I'm on water. Like, if I'm on my surfboard or on a boat, doesn't matter where in the world I am in the water, doesn't matter what's going on. Like, we had this massive boating accident, and the minute we're in the water, I was like, I'm okay. Like, and I'm like, that's not normal.
You're a fish.
Apparently so. Yeah, you put me on water and I'm just, I am fluid. But put me, you know, in the middle of a city or, you know, in a building or in a park, I'm like, yeah, all right, the mind doesn't turn off. You know, I could still meditate in the middle of a park, but I'll still be thinking I'm on the water. So it's just different.
What's your feeling? It's interesting how different people in different bodies have different homes. That's the whole archetype thing, isn't it, I guess?
Sometimes, yeah. And, but then my classical Chinese mind goes, oh, that's a deficiency of salt. Right.
Is it really?
Because it's not like put me in a lake and I'm not happy, but it has to be ocean.
Right.
Yeah, like if I go too far inland, I get like claustrophobic. Like fucking could not handle Grand Canyon, man. I was like, we're in the desert. We're in a desert. The canyon's average. Let's get the fuck out. Like,
what's your feeling on what love is? Like of this... with friends, with family, with anyone, this feeling of connectedness, because we're talking about when you come home to yourself and yourself, ground yourself and accept yourself. But then part of the beauty of life is the integration with others and connectedness with others. Like, we all fucking love connecting with people. Like, it's one of our favorite things to do, right?
Yeah.
Or people. They just love...
Some people love animals more, though. And I don't know if they're better humans or not, and I judge them.
Or they might have had some bad, traumatizing human experiences.
Yeah, like this, people are like, I just love animals more than human. I'm like, fuck off, save the world by yourself. I really like stuff. Don't make me feel bad for being a consumer.
Yeah.
So love in relation to yourself or love in relation to interconnectedness? I'm not quite sure of the question.
To people.
It's really interesting because, like, bringing it back to my clinical experience, because for me, when I talk about these things, I just have to go back to a pulse in my head. And I'm shocking with names. I'll never remember someone's name. A client can come for me 12 times and I'll still have to turn to my clinic manager and be like, what the fuck's their name? Or I'll be like, hey! But then I'll take a pulse and I'll remember everything about you. I'll remember what's been going on with your guts, how much your bowels moved, whatever. And so last week I had a client come in and I took a pulse and it was just settled. For lack of a better word, it was just settled. And the pulse was like, it's baby making time. Like, I am all good. It's peace in the world. I'm just, that's the only way I can describe it was the pulse felt like it was home. And so I just said to them, hey, time to get going now. Like, let's, when the baby's happening. And they looked at me like, what the fuck? And I was like, what do you mean? She's like, we've only been dating a month. And I was like, yeah, no, your pulse is happy now. Like, this is your person. This is your boo. Off you go. Come on. Meet your match. Go fucking get it on and make some beautiful babies in the world. Like, your pulse is decided. So from a clinical perspective, when people are in love with the right person or they're equal, the pulse gets a regularity to it. It gets this really calm underlying rhythm. And part of, like, I've never really sat down to try and break it down or articulate it, but I do wonder if it comes back down to that theory of when you're, obviously when you have love, endorphins release and your brain releases all the different chemicals and your neurotransmitters change. But also, like, when you're in love with someone, you kind of, your endorphins start to match and obviously your heart rate's rhythmic. So I wonder how much of it is, it's found its rhythm. So then the pulse correlates to that rhythm. So,
yeah, I'd love to know what's happening anatomically between two people that love each other.
It's a really beautiful thing to feel in the pulse, but you can also feel in the pulse when people really aren't fucking happy. And that's awful. Like, you know, they've been together 5 years and you're like, 4 years too many, buddy. Or, you know, they've been married 20 years and it's a really beautiful symbiotic relationship. I can feel that in the pulse whether or not they're genuinely resonating. I think it comes down to a resonance. And I don't necessarily always think it comes down to self-love, because there are some people that fucking loathe themselves and have got the most beautiful relationships with their partners. It's just like, you know, there are some people that, you know, they're cutting themselves or committing suicide and their partner is just the rock beside them, thinking that they can do no wrong and will wait for all that crap. So does that kind of circulate what you want me to explain about
love?
Yeah,
I guess it's interesting. I just want your feeling on it, I guess. But the pulse thing is interesting, that you can have the, because it's such a subtle thing, this pulse thing. And
oh, it's the artwork of it. Study it for 20 years and know nothing.
Oh, it's such a subtle thing, like feeling mine now. You can feel it with three fingers on it. You can feel it go from one to the next to the third.
Can I just slightly adjust you there?
Yeah, I know, you go like that.
Because you need your index finger closest to the radial. You need your index finger by your thumb.
Right.
Because what happens is, if you keep doing it the other way, because if you keep changing, then your thought modality of reading it will change. So your sensitivity changes. So if you keep it index at the top on both sides, then you're always going to be reading down the lines. Otherwise, if you keep swapping, you'll be interpreting the bass as the top.
That makes sense.
Anyway, just slight criticism.
But you can, but when you, the more you feel that, I can see how you'd get better and better at understanding the sensation of what it's pressing on your fingers as.
And a lot, like, you've obviously got the physical attribute to feeling a pulse that you can then go away, take to a book and interpret. This feels wiry. This feels slippery. This feels deficient. This feels sloppy. So that's what we can go to a textbook and measure and go, this deliberately pertains to a physical or emotional disharmony. And then there's other science to it where your intuition just goes, you feel like shit. I can't put that down to a postural quality. But, you know, like, your friend Charlie probably feels it as an emotion or feels it within his body as maybe a mirror or a replica. I know that, sorry, I can't remember the empath guy that you're just talking
David.
About. David. David feels it within himself. Whereas I would use that as reading, so I don't have to take it on my physical.
Right. So it's fascinating how you've cultivated that nuance of sensing
people. Years and years and years. And, like, I used to sit in lectures, and I've always been a bit fucking weird, but to be the weird one at weird school is a bit upsetting.
What was the weird school?
I used to pluck a hair out and put it in the bottom of, like, a 1,000-book textbook, put one page over and use the tips of my fingers to feel the hair thread through the paper. Then I the next page over, 2 pages, can I feel the hair?
Oh, wow.
10 pages, you know, drag my fingers over it, can I feel the hair? Until I could do it through 500 pages.
What?
Like, just kept practicing.
This is the old pee on the princess and the mattress thing.
Hell yeah. Like, I was fully fucking determined that I was going to be the Christina Yang of acupuncture, man. I was like, right, in this, and it's win it.
It's so subtle, isn't it?
So subtle. And you got to remember, like, I'm still just a grasshopper. Like, I've got a fair few years under my belt, but I am nothing compared to some of the masters out there. Nothing. Although I'd like to think I'm pretty good, but I still know how far I've got to go.
It's amazing. And so if you had to say what your skills are, it's this sensitivity to human, to what's going on in a human.
Sensitivity to the internal landscape. And then working on interpretation of how those organs correlate to each other. So we say it's a system of relationships. So it's a relationship between the shin, or your heart, which is also your cardiovascular, which is also the personality expression, which is also your ability to rest and recuperate, in relation to your gan, which is like your liver, which is also the hepatic system, but also frustration or grief or resentment or circulation of your blood, or, you know, your sinews. And so we have to talk about how the cardiovascular talks to the sinews, or how the sinews correlate to the expression of who you are. Like, we have to balance those relationships. So I guess if you were to bring that to the love conversation, if everything is in balance and harmony, then everything would be a little bit of love, a little bit of struggle, a little bit of, like, we don't even let our clients be super happy. We deliberately frighten them so that they're not too happy because we think happiness is a disease. So you're talking to me about love. I'm like, it's all in balance. And lots of Chinese relationships or Chinese marriages are based on compatibility and not necessarily full blown heart exploding love. So it's, I don't know. I mean, I do know, but
what's an example? What's an example of compatibility? Someone that's really logical, and then someone else that's really feely. To have the contrast, is that compatible?
I am in no way, shape, or form qualified to answer that question, because everyone's the spectrum of human to spectrum human is different. Every love is different. Think of any relationship you've ever had. The love that you shared with that person and the weirdness that you had in your relationship, completely fucking different to the next one that you had, doesn't make it any worse, any better. You want someone who propels you to be a better person within yourself because you both want that for yourselves. I think that's compatible. You know, like I'm a white girl. We have a different version of what love is compared to, say, someone in India, what their version of love is. It might be just stability, and that's totally what they need. You know, somebody's version of love might be a rock star and they really need someone who lets them go and sow their seeds everywhere and comes home and thinks they're great. It might be a politician who just needs someone to bitch about their data. I don't know. Compatibility is completely different person to person, and you change. Everybody changes. Everybody evolves. You know, your tastes change. Your habits change. I guess you want someone that evolves with you equally, or, you know, you stimulate that in each other, I guess. I don't know. All I know is when I feel it in someone's pulse, I'm like, ah, you're at rest.
That's so nice.
Yeah, it's really nice. I'm like, now go fucking have a lot of sex and make lots of babies. Chinese medicine are all about procreation.
Is it?
Everything comes down to, is your fertile well? Good. If you're healthy, you're fertile. Now go make babies.
Why is that?
I don't know. It's well, if you're healthy, you will be fertile.
They're the most populated country in the world, aren't they?
Well, yeah, and they had the one-child policy there for a long time too. So I guess if you're going to do it, you've got to do it right the first time. Especially if it's an arranged marriage, they might not be going back for seconds. But it comes down to, if everything in your body is well, then that means that your reproductive system is well too. So, but in the Australian culture here, there's a huge paradigm of I see, it's a bit of an epidemic at the moment, and I see a huge amount of women, late 30s, early 40s, desperate for a family, professionals, single, got everything going for them, not even psychos, but completely and utterly unable to find an equal match. And so it's changed the culture of clinic to be talking to these women about, okay, what's your plan B? You are obviously desperate for a family. Like, you smell, you can palpate it on them to a certain extent. And so my job is obviously to make them as healthy as possible. I don't know if I've got points to put people in love with each other. I definitely do lots of treatments in the fact that to make you more yourself, to make you more honored with who you are, connected to yourself, and whether or not that's enough to attract the right person. But lots of the physical conversations I have is, what's your plan B? If a family is your priority, is it time for you to maybe go and just investigate a sperm donor, or investigate a friend who would give it to you, so that by a certain age mechanism you can just fucking go for it, and a partner can be secondary to that happiness that is obviously what you're all about. And so, yeah, I don't know if it's my training or just the Chinese medicine theorem is, if you're healthy, your reproductive is healthy as well. And we have this paradigm of people at the moment beginning to procreate so late, or they've been in a relationship 10 years and now they're 43, 44 and deciding to have children and having a bit of difficulty. And my teacher's like, where was this conversation 5 years ago? Lots of people aren't necessarily open and honest enough at the foreground, or lots of men have no concept that women's bodies age. Like, lots of men, I see a lot of men in Peter Pan syndrome. They've got no concept, oh, I'll just have kids when I'm 40. Hold on a minute, your wahine, your woman, her body will be under so much more stress. She might still be vibrant and youthful, but it's still a hell of a lot more load to put on a body that age. And, you know, they're just going along for the ride as well. I'm not saying it's not going to happen. I'm just saying it's something that's being ignored, and lots of people are getting to that later stage of their 30s or later stage of their 40s and thinking, fuck, I've nearly missed the boat and added more stress and duress. And that's, you got to remember, that's the type of clientele I'm seeing. You know, so we're all about it's in your pulse. You blatantly want children. I've made you, I can make you fertile, but you have to have hard conversations or hard decisions with yourself. So I don't know if that ties into the love thing at all. Still,
that's interesting.
Is it answering it for you at all?
Yeah, it is. It's answering some kind of question that was put out in the ether for people to want to hear.
Whoops. I ask hard questions. I always say in clinic, I'm not your fucking friend, because I'm really not. If your pulse is saying I'm desperate for a kid and that's the last conversation you want to have, I'm going to bring it up. And, you know, if you're blatantly unhappy in your relationship, it's in your pulse. I'm going to bring it up. If you fucking hate your job and it's a 9-to-5 and you think about topping yourself, I'm going to bring it up. We have, like, people come into clinic and go, oh, Abby, how are you? And I'm like, oh, fucking shit. Like, what? And I was like, well, you asked. Like, I'm not going to, this is not a room where you pretend everything's fluffy and you know, well, because it's not. And, like.
So there's no walls.
No, there are no walls at all. And it's safe to have a shit day. Like, I also, this is where I get off with the pseudo meditations and the pseudo gurus, is it, nobody's safe to have a crap day or to have a, just have a vent or a bitch or be honest that they're still struggling in melancholy. So this is where that comes back to love, is if there's melancholy in the pulse or they're genuinely not happy, well, if you don't have any love for yourself, you don't have any love to put out there. So if you're sitting there hating yourself or you're sitting there really second-guessing your choices or you spend all day tearing yourself apart, that's not a love action. But also, if I don't let you express that, fuck, I feel like shit today, cool. I even go as deep as saying, all right, you can tell in a pulse if someone's like quite volatile. Like if they're a fucking schizo, you can, for lack of a better word, I'm just trying to colloquialize it. If someone's super fucking volatile and crazy, you can feel it in the pulse that they're rampantly angry and frustrated. And it gets to the point of, I'm like, okay, when you have these visions of anger, do you want them to be bloody? Do you want them to die, or do you just want them to suffer? And we quite happily talk about it. And for me, it's diagnostic, because then I can go, okay, blood, you want to see lots of fucking blood and gore. That is your liver, right? You want to see them fucking dead? Kidney element, right? You want them to suffer in pain? Ooh, gallbladder and spleen. And let's just calm you the fuck down. Like, we do all that anyway, but like, it's giving a safe space to be really honest about, honestly, this is shit. And then once you dredge, clear all the dredge, then you can build your foundation. And then you can be positive and can be normal and can be.
But you're going to the foundations.
Yeah.
And going to the root of the problem.
Yeah. Definitely. You can't fix a tree just by pruning its leaves. Got to look at the soil. Does it get hydration? What are the roots going into? Yeah, that's kind of a really good way of describing Chinese medicine that I probably should have done hours ago.
Yeah. I really like the way it is, and the fact that you go to the root, because that's one thing I've always felt peeved with, is the lack of intelligence in people that don't go to the root of things. They just band-aid shit, make you feel better. And it's, I suppose it's good and well-intended, but it's ultimately ignorant, because
And almost patronizing.
Yeah.
Almost like we have this huge epidemic of depression and suicide in this country. Huge. Like what? So many men commit suicide every week. Like, it's horrific. But nobody lets them talk about it and just be like, oh, it's a shit day. Yeah, of course it's a shit day. You feel like shit. You probably have stuff that you haven't looked at because it has been safe for you to look at it. And then off you go, you've gone and done some irreversible damage. Just do some positive affirmations. It'd be fine. Just do some positive affirmations. Just say everything's great and that'll make it great. Fuck no. Like, positivity for the sake of positivity does fuck all. And that also gets my goat up. Like, the rant, I can feel it brewing.
Yeah, let it out.
You can see all these health coaches and PTs online. And social media is a beautiful thing, but it's also watered down a lot of actual factual information. You see all these PTs going, it's so great. I've had a smoothie. I've had chia seeds. I've just been drinking celery juice 24 hours straight. I feel amazing. Look how skinny I am. Look at my abs. I'm so fucking happy. I'm like, they are fucking on ketamine for sure. No one is that happy 24/7. Are you fucking kidding me? Can you just have a beer and bloat like a normal human? Like, for fuck's sake, no wonder we have all this mental health unrest, is because you're online pretending you're happy, and then you can't maintain pretending you're happy because you've lost all inspiration to have photos to look happy and skinny than everyone else, because you have been fucking binge eating behind the scenes. You just won't tell anybody because your stories are old pictures of things that you did on a holiday in Bali 2 years ago, and here we are pretending that you're fucking happy and everyone else is trying to uplift to this and can't. Oh, it drives me so mad, so mad. And I'm in the health and well-being circle and I'm surrounded by all these, it's so great to work out 30 hours a day. I'm like, fuck my life. I just want to lie on the couch.
That makes total sense. How frustrating.
Tell me what you really feel, Abby. Well. Yeah.
Yeah, that would be frustrating to see.
It's frustrating to watch because I see a lot of people with digestive issues and a lot of people masking their dysmorphia and masking their food unhealthy relationships through strict regimens. Like they've clearly got bulimia or nervosa anorexia, but they're actually masking it as extreme veganism or extreme gluten intolerances. And it's been encouraged by lack of education and free information, quote unquote, facts on Instagram or Pinterest. And, you know, I love that there's this medical medium out there. Like, that's amazing. But celery juice, excuse me, it's also really fantastic because lots of people probably don't drink enough fluid. So that's probably why you're feeling better as well. But to say, I don't disagree with them. I don't agree with the fanfare that goes with it. Like, it will cure everything. Well, actually, in Chinese medicine, we say too much raw food damages your ability to metabolize food correctly. We say that the stomach is a soup, and anything not of soup-like consistency or temperature or fluidity is more energy or chi for your body to break down. So, for example, if you just have an entire diet of coconut water and you live in Melbourne, that's my other fucking rant that I can't hold back. Coconut trees don't fucking grow in this environment. Why are you drinking something that's of a seasonal attribute that's not in the season? Okay? Rest my peace. But if you have lots of coconut water and chia seeds and rehydrated nuts and frozen berries and mangoes and bananas and lots of raw food because it's healthy, none of that grows in Victoria. Great for starters, for one. And from Chinese medicine, we would say, well, actually, can you imagine putting custard and cheese in a soup? It would just sit on the top and ferment and coagulate. And if you think about when, for example, you have way too much, am I allowed to say brand names on this thing?
Yeah, I don't care.
Messina, it's my absolute favorite. If you have way too much Messina, you get a bit of a guts ache, or you might feel a bit of brain freeze or a bit fatigued the next day, or if you have excessive amount of chia puddings, or it actually diminishes your ability to create lots of blood, literally and physically. And so with all these health coaches out there saying, you must eat all this raw food, I'm seeing a lot of people with digestive issues, constipation that's going undiagnosed, migraines, fatigue, waking up, not having any energy. You know, they're only doing a dump every couple of days. That's not natural, guys. And when you do go to the bowel movement, if you do have a bowel movement and it's only mush, that's also not healthy. You need to go and talk to your GP or your healthcare provider. Like, that's the other reason why bowel cancer is so rife, is because people don't understand their bowel movements because they're all so busy eating these cold raw foods and, you know, masking their, you know, food diseases. It's not food diseases. Just, like, the ranting and the wine's all in my head now. I'm just off the charts. But, you know, all these people with these eating disorders. That's the word I was looking for. Eating disorders.
It's like a food disease.
It's a food disease. Well, it's a disease of the relationship to food. You know, they've got all these eating disorders and they're vehemently extreme vegans. I've got nothing against a plant-based diet. I just think there needs to be a lot more balanced momentum with it. Like, if you're looking at the ethical side of it, sometimes women need more meat than men. So go and buy kosher meat, or go and buy ethically raised, farmed, small numbers. Some of the impact of this plant-based phenomenon, which has got great positive things for it too, is also deforestation of other areas just to plant wheat and rice. It's still just as detrimental. We're humans, we're fucked up, we can't get the balance. But you'll find that if you go back to the soup analogy, if you have some more cooked foods and some more broths and you incorporate a balance of it and eat what's in season and in your region, you're a lot healthier, you think a lot quicker, your metabolism and digestion is a lot easier to process, and then, you know, you won't be trying so hard to force yourself to be healthy with these fucking smoothies that are killing your gut. Oh, health coaches.
Balance.
Not all of them, but come on, let's just be real. Yeah.
I
feel like I've ranted a lot.
No, I like your reality. I think people appreciate the honesty.
So please don't troll me on the internet because I said these things.
Where can people follow you to get more of this ranting?
And not troll me?
with zero trolls.
Zero trolls. So on Instagram, I'm Dr. Abby Acupuncture, D-R-A-B-B-I-E. Acupuncture, spell it with a Y and die. And my clinic is Zhong Center, Zhong Centre. I'd hope I'd spelled that correct. Yeah, so I do a lot of ranting. I try not to. I try to educate. I think education is more community building and more empowering than me just having a fucking go. But
People can relate to what you're saying.
I'm not positive all the time. I think it's yin and yang. I'm both.
Yeah. And we adore and accept and love you for all that you are.
Thanks. And I appreciate that, and we'll take it on board.
Thanks so much for doing the chat. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Jez. Thanks for having me on. Hope you enjoyed the wine.